So, good morning, everybody. We started discussing electricity last week. We said that turning on electricity, turning off electricity is also in Shabbos, which, having grown up in our day and age, we take it for granted. When electricity first came out, it was considered novelty and something pretty magic, and people didn't understand what was behind it. And the story goes that Rabbi Moshe Grudzinski Zatzal used to make Havdalah on his electric light bulb. He didn't light a Havdalah candle, but he used an electric light bulb. And the reason for that was he wanted to teach the public that an electric light bulb has the status of a fire. It would then stop them from using it to Chas v'Shalom on Shabbos. Now, I've heard a few stories about Rabbi Moshe that did things like that, that might have been some ways in the book, so in other words, had sfeikus, whether it was right or wrong, but he did it anyway to prove a point. One of the other things I heard is that he kept a bowl of peanuts on his table, all of Pesach, because he was of the opinion that they were not kidneys, and therefore he wants to show people that he actually busted that way and kept the bowl of them on his table. So we spoke about, obviously, that turning on, turning off electricity is awesome. Now, turning on electricity in delayed reaction is also considered forbidden. That means if you do something, which will do something, which will do something, which will get them to go on, then there's also, that is considered if you have done it, even though there's a delay. Now, there is something that everybody talks about, it's called grammar. And grammar, we're more maker with others, Shabbos dances. The question is that what actually is grammar, and when do you apply it, how does it work? I heard a very simple explanation. I don't know if everybody agrees with it, but I'll give it to you anyway. It's a very nice explanation. In many places in Halacha, we discuss actions that a person has done that are not directly done by him, but by a secondary state. For example, if a person takes a shechita knife and puts it into a bow and arrow, and he shoots the shechita knife into the sky with the intention of shechting a flying bird, and the knife does a fantastic job and it slices the simonim of the bird in flight, we say that is considered as a kosher shechita. The chance of such a thing happening and the shechita being exactly in the right place is far-fetched, but irrelevant. The point is that when a knife, even though it's no longer in the shofar's hand, but it has been sent by him, we call it giri delay, it is his arrow. If a person, Moral Islam, in a different example, takes a gun and shoots it, they'll say, I didn't kill with the bullets. He put the bullet into motion. And therefore, this is considered as an extension of what I did. When any boy starts learning Gemara, he's going to learn, of course, he starts with Eile B'tzias, like every other young boy starts with Halachas of HaShavos of Eile, but the next thing he goes to is Arba Ovos Nizikin. There are four types of damages that can be occurred halachic. Any damage that gets occurred, if it fits into one of these four categories, then it is considered that the person who caused the damage is then liable for each cause. And one of them is Esh, that a person who lights a fire, so he didn't burn the field down, the fire burned the field down. And he lit it in a northerly direction, and the wind came and sent it to a southerly direction. So it's not me, it's the wind, it's the fire, I didn't do it. But we passed him that is considered a mazik, a person who lit a fire and allowed the wind to carry it to his neighbor's field, and then it burnt down his produce. He is considered a mazik, is considered the damager and liable for the damage that is caused. So we learn this concept through to many other cases in Halacha, that when I set something in motion, the action belongs to me. We have it, the governor Tiras Yadoim. Now there is, in certain circumstances, we say that there's Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. The first force that is put into effect, and the subsequent. The first force for sure is related to me. The subsequent force already is halachically questioned. So an example given there is if I have a water mill and I attach, instead of a mill, I attach a wheel with knives and I hold and I want to do mass-produced chicken shechita. So what I do is I have a water mill. The water mill spins the turbine which turns the wheel that I built with a knife on it. And that knife, and now I've just put the birds on a conveyor belt, and the knife goes and shechts. Is that considered my action or not my? Or if I have a long pipe with water, and that pipe I release, I open the faucet of the pipe, and the water comes out, and then I put my hands underneath and I wash them. And when I wash my hands for Tiras Yadoim, I need what's called Koach Gavra. It must be done by human force and not by the force of of gravity. So which at which point is it considered mine and which not? And then we have Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. We have that if it's the immediate result of what I've done, that Koach Rishon, that's the source. What happens after that, after the first gush has come through, is already considered Koach Sheni. It's no longer considered Koach Gavra. But the Gabbai Shabbos, it's still considered as if I put this whole thing into motion. And therefore, even if I avoided that something would happen during Koach Rishon, if something happens in Koach Sheni, it's still considered also on Shabbos. Therefore, Groma is not just that I make a delayed reaction. Putting a time switch into action, that means that I put a time on something, let us say, not from up before Shabbos. Do before Shabbos is not a problem. What you do on Shabbos, you put a time onto something that after an hour, the timer will come to an end and then something will happen. So even though an hour happens between the time I set the timer and the time it actually activates or deactivates whatever I've set it to do, that is still considered as an extension of what I've done. However, so this is where I have an interesting explanation of where grammar comes into effect. And that is, if I put something into effect in a way that I can reverse what I've done, then it will be considered as grammar. So an interesting example given at the Summit Institute a couple of months ago, and took a tour over there, and they gave a very nice example. They put up a series of dominoes on hinges that when you knock the first domino, it knocks the second one over, and then the third one, the fourth one will be called the domino. And you have a whole string of them, and say 20 of them. So you, the person knocks the first one, the person knocks the second, which is the third, etc., until you get to the 20th one. The 20th one falls over, it lands on a hammer, which is on a hinge. It lands on the handle of the hammer. The hammer then swivels because it's on a hinge and it's just been hit by a falling domino. And then the hammer goes and hits an anvil and you hear a gong. So this is, even though the person that pushed, he pushed one domino, which then would push the next, which then pushed the hammer, which then hit the anvil. That is still considered my action, even though it is delayed, but that's my reaction. That's an irreversible reaction. Once you've pushed that first domino over, putting it back is going to stop there. But if I put something in a way that I can reverse what I've done, I throw a ball into the sky, and when the ball lands, it's going to land on the pressure pad, which will activate. But I can catch the ball before it falls, so that would be considered grammar, because now I could stop what happens, and then what happens subsequent is really because I didn't stop it. So as I said, it's controversial, and I'm not going to go into sakhalacha here. If you have shyness, you need to go speak to a rabbi. But it's on this principle that Summit has built all the electronic devices that can be used on Shabbos. And it's basically, obviously it has to be B'makom HaTorah. They're not going to allow everybody to use it. So you have someone, they tell the story that Shlomo Zalman Zatzal called them up and asked them to create a wheelchair for an invalid who could not get out. And this is the technology they used, was this Groma switch, which, as I said, once you put it into action, it doesn't make an irreversible chain reaction, but it gives time that you can actually reverse it. Since it gives time to reverse it, it's considered grammar. The made of the whole thing works on grammar, but not on Tzoriach Gadol. We have a person who's an invalid and is locked indoors and cannot get out, and learns the Shabbos. So this was considered as the Makom HaTorah, you can have it down. And all the devices work on this principle. Again, this is a very big machlokes. I'm not going to get involved. Can you use the Shabbos elevator on Shabbos? Can you use a scooter on Shabbos or these various mobiles? Get around with these, make a shiner. But I just, for the sake of understanding, point these things. So back to the time switches.
When it comes to water, there's also a whole Indian of grammar. If the water lands on a concrete and then goes onto grass, that we're allowed to. Was that a different principle?
You asked a good question, which I thought about and I don't have an answer to. That, yes, it's true that when you wash your hands onto a surface which does not have a problem of zarea, a concrete surface, and then later on it spills further, so then we say that's not so true, it's going to happen, it's not a reversible reaction, but it's no longer considered your consideration, and then you don't have to worry about it. Yes, that's true, and I don't know how that fits into this formula just given.
Could it be that maybe it's not right that it's going to go onto the grass?
No, I think the head is it's for sure going to get there. It's just that there's a distance between you and what's going to happen. I'll have to look into it to see exactly how that case is defined. So that's a very good point, because that really brings up a lot of questions on what we're going to say, but essentially setting time switches on Shabbos, not before Shabbos, is always considered as I am creating a situation. So even though there's a delay built in of an hour or whatever it is, but I'm setting the situation, and even though in that case it is going to switch off, but everybody agrees that setting a time slot on Shabbos is problematic because you are now going to create a certain circuit going on or a circuit going off. And the fact that there's a delay, you say it's still your reaction. So there are, as we mentioned last week, there's two opinions as to how to deal with time switch and Shabbos. Everybody agrees that if it's set before Shabbos, no problem. No problem as long as you don't have a side issue of zilus of the Shabbos. You're putting up a machine that makes a lot of noise. Then it's even zalzel, you're degrading the covered of Shabbos by allowing such a machine to run Shabbos. But otherwise, if your lights go on and off of Shabbos, it's not a problem. And if it's set before Shabbos, all good and fine. But there's two opinions as to whether you can change a setting on Shabbos Chazanish. Those who go with that opinion hold that it's forbidden to tamper with the time switch. And the others hold that there are certain circumstances, you know, it brings a shame from the Zalman, that he allows in certain circumstances to tamper with the time switch. And as you said last week, that's only if you're extending an existing situation, but not shortening. So if it's off now, and you want it to go on later than you set it, you set it to go on at 8 o'clock, you want it to go on at 9 o'clock, so you can move the pins to adjust it accordingly, because you're only extending an existing situation, it's inevitable that it's going to go on, and you're not bringing it closer, and therefore that's not a problem. That's the heter base. That's what the heter reform zaman is based on. A very interesting aside, I don't know how practical it is, but generally most of the time switch we have installed here, the ones that you plug into the walls, or electrical board for your house, time switches are basically made of little pins, and the pins slide in and out, and in one position they will affect the switch, in other positions they are ignored by the switch. And that's how it's a very manual system. The clock turns and the pins, as they pass the electrical switch, will either push it in or keep it pushed in or allow it to come out or leave it that way. There was a form of time switch where you had a turning disc, and on the disc you had little something, or you call it, that you attached to the disc. And when this little something passed a certain point, it activated the switch. So if the switch got bumped by the little thing that you screwed onto the disc, so either the switch went from off to off or off to on, depending on where you put it. I remember as a kid we had such time switches at home. They had just an on and an off, and you just put the on and the off where you wanted. So it was one pin that moved in and out. It was a slider that you chose where you wanted it on the face of the clock. And the other one, so that one, the one we had at home was one way, but I've seen another one. They had it in Yeshiva. Actually had it for a gas stove and not for electricity. But you had a disc clock face that turned, and then you put a screw into the side of the face, and that screw then obviously traveled around the clock face for in a 12-hour motion. And when it passed a certain point, if the screw was in place, it would knock a switch, and the switch would then shut the gas. So you could set it that you turned on the gas to keep the food warm for Friday night. And at 9 o'clock at night, when you don't need it anymore, so this little screw would then pass the switch and knock it down and switch it off. Can you move that screw into a different position? And very interesting, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Svara, as long as you're making it later, not earlier, it should be allowed. So you just take it out and move it into a later position, it should be allowed. But Rav Novik points out something very fascinating, very simple, but just got to think about it. And that is, when you take the screw out and then put it in, you have a moment where the screw is no longer attached to the face of the clock. So what happens is that when you have the screw in initially, when Erev Shabbos was, when you set it, you have it, for example, that the screw is in the position that at 8 o'clock it will do whatever it needs to do, whether it's the gas or the electricity or whatever. You now remove the screw in order to put it back into the next hole at 9 o'clock. But while the screw is removed, there's nothing on the face of the clock. And if you would leave it at that, the clock would just keep on turning and nothing would shift. So now you've changed it from 8 o'clock to never going off. And then you put the screw in at 9 o'clock and now you're shortening. Not that you're extending it from 8 to 9. It's making from 8 to forever and then from ever to 9. So then it comes out that you're actually those ones where you have to disconnect a piece and then reconnect it. During the interchange of the disconnect and the reconnection, you've left it without any switch on it, and then it actually becomes more problematic, those ones, even though they're quite simple, becomes more problematic, and he says, Shasatrak, you can do it, but one should ask the Shaila. So again, time switches, lechatchila, should all be set before Shabbos, and if they are nicely set before Shabbos and you come to adjust it, so you've got Rosh Hashanah to rely on and adjust it accordingly. I know someone who relied on this lechatchila, on the type of weather that we're going through now, this transition season, where one day it's cold and one day it's hot and you don't know what it'll be. So what he used to do is he used to set his air conditioning to go on, say at 8 o'clock on Shabbos morning, and make it go off at 9 o'clock, and he'd wake up on Shabbos morning and see what the weather's like. If the weather's warm, so then he'd extend it from 9 o'clock to whatever time he thought was good. If he saw the weather's cold, he says, no, so it'll go off at 9 o'clock, so he has the air conditioning run for an hour. But like that, he could choose on Shabbos how long he wants his air conditioning to go. If you're relying on Rosh Hashanah, that's 100% fine. You're just extending an existing situation. Once it's on, you're making it on for longer. Now comes a little bit more of a complicated one, and that is if you have a Shabbos clock that was not in timer position, but was in override position, can you switch it over onto Shabbos position? I would say, now, I preface this and say it again, that in such a situation, go ask. Don't decide by yourself on anything that I've said, what you should do. If you're stuck, you go ask. If you forgot to set your time switch and it means something to you that you go, don't want to leave it on the whole of Shabbos, go ask it. But just as a little bit of guideline before, to understand why it's such a big shaila, I'll explain. That basically I've said that to set a time switch on Shabbos is also because it's considered that you have gone and done it. So what if it's going to happen in an hour later? You're moving something, what this platter was going to be on, because you didn't put the time switch onto timer setting, but you left it on override. So when Shabbos came in, the platter was going to be on. It's 24 hours until Moitzei Shabbos when you plug it out. Now you switch the clock onto Shabbos mode, onto clock mode. It's going to go off at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock the next morning, whatever it is. And now you cause it. Your action has caused it to go off. So even though it doesn't happen immediately, but it's your action. And therefore, yesh materi. There are those who give efforts ahead, and they say, do kila achayad. Don't give a makam atzer. You shouldn't do it with your hand. You should try to do it with your elbows, and you should only do it if it's the makam atzer, if it's something important. I'll give you a, you know, if your platter is not going to go off, no. So your kitchen can be a little bit more. As long as it's not a fire hazard, then so it's on a little bit, you know, put some shabbos in your platter, burn a little bit longer. But let us say someone has an asthma and he needs to take his Ventolin through a machine and not just an inhaler, and he needs to have a go for 15 minutes every 4 hours so he can inhale his Ventolin. So then, if you forgot to set it, you got a big problem over here that you're going to go the whole Shabbos and he's not going to have his asthma. So then, that is a good example of something where you go ask the rabbi and it's possible they'll find a way ahead to do it, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to tell you clearly, please go ask the rabbi the situation. You also have to know each time switch, how it works. Some of them just switch it from one circuit to another, and therefore you cannot activate those in Shabbos in any form, because you're really just switching it. You can't turn an electric switch in Shabbos in any such situation, and therefore it's not going to help. It will only be in a time switch where what the switch does between override and clock is that it allows the pins to affect the switch. Let me explain. As I said, the pins on the clock face, whether they're in or out, have an effect on a manual switch that's built on the inside. You have a switch that has, it's usually just a little pin that sticks out, and it's on a spring. And when the pins come by from the clock, they either depress it, push it in, and it goes on, or they allow it to pop out and it goes off. So when you put it onto override, what you've done is you've manually forced that little switch to go in, and it stays in. And now when the pins go past, whether they're in or out, they have no effect because the switch stays in and it's always on. And when you go put onto clock, you've released that catch, that hold on the pin, and now the pin is subject to the push of its own spring. And if the spring can push it out, it will go off, unless it happens to be one of the pins in the way that stops it and then it stays on. And therefore, well, essentially, you're not doing anything. You're not turning anything on. You're not turning anything off. You're allowing the effects of the clock to decide whether the switch is in or out, and instead of just holding it into place. So if you have such a clock, and let us say it's an override, which is permanent on, and at the time that you realize that your clock wasn't set properly. It was the clock was set that right now it would be on. So if you then move it from override to clock, the actual electrical circuit, nothing happens, nothing changes. It stays on. It's just that in 2 hours, it's going to go off, which before, it wouldn't have before, would have just stayed on the whole Shabbos. So, of course, the only way that a Shaila even begins is when changing it from override to clock setting doesn't actually make any change right now. It only just allows the clock to do its job when the time comes. But right now, if it's off, it's off, and if it's on, it's on, and it won't change anything right now. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Okay, I think we've covered pretty much Shabbos clocks, as complicated as they are, except for Shabbos. A couple of other clocks that have pertained to electricity as well. Replacing fuses, even if the system is off, and right now it's not going to make it go on. Replacing a fuse is considered also on Shabbos, because they are considered as building the circuitry. So even a fuse that fell, and then you want to put it back up again, even if right now it's not going to activate, and say there's a blackout, and your fuse fell before the blackout, and now there's a blackout, you say, oh, good idea, I'll put all the fuses back up again. And when the blackout comes to an end, my electricity in my own home will go back up again. But Rav Novad writes that that's all considered makom patush, because that's an integral part of your circuitry, and therefore you've fixed it by replacing or turning on a fuse. In certain circumstances, would allow you to do it on a day goy, but that again, that gets into the shaila of when are you allowed to ask a goy and what are you allowed to ask a goy, which we won't discuss. That's a separate discussion of Avir Lakum. But as for a yid to do it, you cannot do that. If you have a circuit that has gone off, and now you want to unplug it so that it shouldn't go on again. As we said, according to Shlomo Zalman, you can extend an existing situation. So you have, let us say, you have a fridge, an old-fashioned fridge. No, it would never apply in a modern fridge. But an old-fashioned fridge that has an old-fashioned thermostat, and the thermostat has, the temperature has reached the desired temperature, the thermostat has activated and cut the power to the fridge, and now it's a manual switch, and basically all power to the fridge has been disconnected. Now you want to plug it out so that it shouldn't go on again, because you want to open the microwave, not to open the fridge, unless the motor's running, and you know it's going to be a long time till it comes on again, and you're going to need. So plug it out, plug out the fridge, and now you have no problem of the fridge going on again. So once it's plugged out, you can open and close it. From an example, or you have a time switch, the lights are going out, and they're going to go on again, but you left the light on in your bedroom. So you have an idea that when the power goes out, for whatever reason, you put out the plug, so when the power goes on again, your light will not go on. Essentially, based on the Shlomo Zalman's Sfarah, that as long as you're extending an existing situation and you're not shortening it, then that should be allowed from the point of view of turning on and off the circuit. But as I said, don't fiddle with the plugs in your fridge today for more than one reason. But essentially, if you had some sort of appliance that was you knew that there's no current flowing through the cables at the moment, and you want to unplug it so that when the current comes again, it's not going to go on. Yesh makom lahakel, there is place to think of a leniency, and that also from the svarah from Zalman, you're just extending an existing situation. The issue to take into account is boine, something that is connected to your house, to the building, to the structure of your house. So we say it's part of the house. When you disconnect it, that's a form of soiser, of destruction. So we're building and destructing. So when you plug something in and plug something out, maybe you're connecting to the physical structure of your home, and therefore there might be a form of boine or soiser. That from Novad writes, it depends on the use of the plug. That's why I said in a fridge, there's a double problem. First of all modern fridges today have current running through them at all times. Even when the motor's not running and the thermostat has registered that the temperature's fine, but the thermostat is digital, and there's all sorts of circuitry that is monitoring what's going on, and it's fans on the inside. There's so much happening in our fridges that there's always current going through, and therefore there's no way to plug it out of Shabbos without some stopping current. But the second point is that something which is usually plugged in and left for an extended period, you may not unplug it, because that is considered a soiser, as detaching something from the building. Only something which you regularly plug in and plug out, then your vacuum cleaner, you plug it in, you plug it out. I can't think of an example of how you would plug out your vacuum cleaner on Shabbos, but give an example. Yes. You were vacuuming the carpets and the power went out. So the vacuum cleaner went off, but you weren't finished the carpet. So you dropped the vacuum cleaner and said, well, I can't vacuum now, let me go for a shower. You go for a shower and then you get distracted and get dressed, and do this, and do that, and that. And Shabbos comes in, you've lit candles and all the rest, and then you realize, whoa, the vacuum cleaner's plugged in the on position, and hopefully the power will come on in a couple of minutes, and then I'm gonna have this vacuum cleaner sitting there sucking away and making a racket in my living room the whole of Shabbos. So in such a case, according to Shlomo Zalman, you can pull the plug out before the power comes on again, because the vacuum cleaner is off. By putting the plug out, it will stay off. You're not bringing a new situation. It will stay off, and it will just stay off for longer. And as for the idea that it is plugged in, how can you pull it out of the wall? So this is right. That's a vacuum cleaner is something that you never leave plugged in on a long-term basis. It's always going in and out, and therefore it doesn't become bottled to the structure, and therefore you may pull it out. So there's an example of something that you could actually unplug on Shabbos. Could be there's a problem with water, and therefore the way to do it would be to do it kilachaya. You use your elbows or something like that to pull it out of the socket and not to use the normal way to hold it. And therefore, on the same lines, if you have a light that has gone off and you're afraid it's going to go on again, so you want to unscrew the light valve so that when it goes on again, it doesn't come on, it stays off. According to everything we've said, it should be permitted to do from the Zalman Svara. They will say light bulbs are not made to be taken in and out just at a whim in order to have them turn on or turn off, but rather we only change them, we only unscrew them when they burn out, and therefore that's considered more permanent than we don't allow such a thing. Okay, one more halacha, and that is the Mishnah tells us, "En koirin ve'en poirin poilin le'or haner." We don't read or pick off fleas, gnats, lice, with the light of a candle. Obviously, these were common things that people did, and we say that it needed a certain amount of concentration. When you read, you want to understand what you're reading. When you're looking for lice, you're searching for them. And therefore, we say to do them on Shabbos is a problem, because a person will be preoccupied in what he does. And if the light is no good, the light starts to flicker or something like that, the knee-jerk reaction, the habitual reflexive reaction that a person has is to stretch out his hand and adjust the light. And then only after he's done this reflexive reaction might he realize, whoops, a chance. So therefore, the halacha is that to do something that brings you to a situation of being preoccupied, you cannot do that next to a candle, because you might come to adjust it, and therefore there will be also on Shabbos. What's the din regarding electric lighting? The consensus amongst the poskim is that electric lighting is not adjustable, and therefore we are not afraid that a person will come to adjust the light on Shabbos. There is an opinion of the Chazon Ish that held that it's a gzera of no plug. Once they made it there, you can't read by light if it's adjustable or not. Old machlokes already, because oil candles are adjustable, wax candles are not. And therefore, in the old days, they really discussed whether you can read next to wax candles as the oil candles. The Chazon Ish was machmir, and they said the Chazon Ish told people you should always learn something by heart, so that when Friday night comes, you're able to learn by heart. You can't learn with the light, with light. And the general consensus, as I said, is not like the Chazon Ish, but rather even when it comes to electric lighting, it is, we do not have to worry about that we're going to fiddle with the light. That's not our habit, the way of doing it. It doesn't flicker, it doesn't get weaker, and therefore it's permitted to read with electric light. Let's see that Rav Novi brings that it is praiseworthy if a person were to cover the switch before Shabbos, so that he would add an extra precaution that he won't come to adjust the light on Shabbos. The shiur this morning, and with that, I wish everybody a wonderful day.
Shkoyach. I wonder if the halacha changes when you have a country of hours where there's load shedding and there's lamps all over, and they can be adjusted with the light, you know, the strength.
So if they have a rheostat, it could be problematic.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.